This is the Featured Business of the Week, a sponsorship of LM Communications. And this week, I'm with my friend and co-partner in pickleball. It's Alan Stein. Hello, Alan. How are you?
I'm doing great, Skip. I hope you're holding up this week.
I'm doing good. And with us is Kip Cornett. He's the chair of the Breeders' Cup Festival Committee. Hello, Kip. How are you?
I'm doing great. Really looking forward to what next week is going to bring to the city of Lexington.
37th Annual Breeders' Cup World Championship of Thoroughbred Horse Racing. 14 races over 2 days is November 6th and 7th at Keeneland. No spectators. That's the wild thing because of this COVID thing we have. No spectators. How are you guys dealing with that?
Well, it's not completely spectator-free, but it will be very limited in terms of guests. If you think back to 2015, there's a lot of great pictures and video of 50,000 people at Keeneland, which was amazing. And we will only have the close connections of the horses will be allowed on site at Keeneland, which means the owners and their immediate group, which will be a very small group, and trainers and folks that you need to run a day of racing. So probably under 3,000 people. So significantly different, but there will be some folks there.
Kip, it's always been a spectacular event. And honestly, when you guys were able to bring the Breeders' Cup to Lexington last time, it has to have been a highlight for our community. But it's a much different environment this time. Talk to us about how that's going to be different for the general public.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, there was just like everybody else, there's been planning and then replanning and then plan again. So we never gave up hope that we wanted the city to be able to celebrate it, no matter what that celebration looked like, and unless it was irresponsible. And obviously, we would never go down that path. So as the summer and fall have unfolded, we've tried to develop things that people can still participate in, but in a very safe manner. And I think overall, try to inject some energy into the city that I think is much needed. If you've been around downtown, you know, the past several months, it's a little dreary. You know, it's kind of like today with the rain.
It's a lot dreary.
Right.
We
think that we have developed a number of events that will allow people to participate, to really feel what it's like to have a world-class sporting event come to your community, but do it in a responsible manner. And I think that we've been able to lay that out in a way that still also for those folks that are coming in from out of town that, you know, determine, you know, when the Breeders' Cup does come back, which, by the way, it will come back hopefully in its full and complete glory in 2022. But in the meantime, we don't want it to just kind of, you know, whimper into town and whimper out. We need to celebrate it, but we just need to celebrate it differently.
There's like a
question,
isn't there?
Go ahead, Skip. Go ahead.
You're going to start off with a fireworks display in downtown that anybody can see.
That's right. And again, one of the first things that we did, Skip, is, you know, going back to downtown, is we wanted to, you know, even though that, you know, obviously there's not the amount of folks that are working and staying in the downtown area, but that's still a, you know, major thoroughfare. Starting last Wednesday, we've decorated downtown with a lot of large format signage, the flags of countries from all over the world that participate in the Breeders' Cup. So that was kind of the first step. And then, you know, kind of really getting the week off with a bang will be Sunday night, which the city of Lexington did a great job with the 4th of July fireworks and being able to enjoy them safely. It was still very successful. And we're going to follow that format. You know, people can come downtown, be in their cars. The last forecast I saw was excellent weather. We're working very closely with LM Communications to have a music track that's kind of thoroughbred oriented. So people can enjoy it. So Sunday night, this coming Sunday night at 6:30, people can, from the comfort of their cars, or if they're fortunate enough to know somebody downtown, to come downtown and watch those fireworks. It's going to be a great show that people can enjoy safely.
Let's talk a little bit about the actual event itself, Kip. Will the purses be the same as they have been in the past?
Yes, yes. You know, I think the one thing to remember about this week is not just the festival with fireworks. There's also, don't let me forget about the Feeders Cup that I want to come back to.
Right.
But the week itself, people will be able to enjoy it, whether it is on television, live stream. There's going to be a lot of activities that people will be able to follow along. And again, you know, this event will be covered on live television for numerous hours on NBC and NBC Sports. And it's like a love letter to our city. You know, they're going to be rolling into town and capturing highlights of the city all week long. So, you know, other than actually, you know, physically being there, the folks at the Breeders' Cup, I think, have gone overboard to make people feel like they're part of this with a lot of different things that will be the pre-coverage for the event, but also coverage for the event itself. So there's a lot of different things that they're going to do to make sure that when the actual races do roll around on Friday and Saturday, the people know who the horses are. They know that there's a lot of money on the line. They know that, you know, who are the connections? Where are these horses? You know, we've got the Derby winner coming in. We've got the Preakness winner coming in. We've got the Belmont winner. You know, so there's a lot of horsepower, not just domestically, but international contingents as well.
There's a lot of good.
You mentioned the Feeders' Cup. That sounds like such a fun event and an opportunity for Lexingtonians to get involved. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, thanks, Alan. You know, yesterday we started the International Feeder Cup. In 2015, we went to Whitaker Bank Ballpark and had 50, I think we had 54 food trucks. Very successful event. People loved it. We sold out of food just in the nick of time because it started raining, thank God, because we had run out of food. We're not going to run out of food this time. We have 34 participating restaurants all over town that will allow you to experience the culinary delights of the 16 countries that make up the Breeders' Cup competition. You're talking about Australia, Peru, which has incredible cuisine, England, Ireland, France, Germany, and the restaurants have really gone out of their way to be extremely creative with this. And again, just yet another way that people can feel like that they're part of the Breeders' Cup. And these restaurants are obviously practicing the protocols that are in place. So if people choose to go there and enjoy it, that's great. But almost all of these entrees that I'm aware of are available for carryout as well. So you can go and get everything from Bangers at Windy Corner. Dudley's is doing some cool stuff around Argentina. I mean, I would strongly encourage you to go to feederscup.com and take a look at those restaurants because it really is exciting to see how the restaurants have embraced this. And again, how you can feel that you're a part of this special week in Lexington's history.
I was surprised when I looked at the list of all the restaurants, how many of them are doing Peruvian dishes. I wasn't familiar with that, but I'm looking forward to it now.
Yeah. No, I thought that you'd see a lot of, you know, France, for example. Peru is known for its culinary culture, and a lot of restaurants have embraced it. But, you know, I would encourage people when you go on there, I think you're going to see that there is, you know, I know it's a cliche, but there really is something for every taste. And it's ice creams and it's sandwiches, it's full entrees, it's appetizers. I mean, you name it, it's got it. Yeah. I'm very excited about that. And we all know that our restaurant industry is, you know, has had a bit of a tough year, and here's a way for you to help them and help yourself right. Really special dishes.
And a good way to help in itself too.
No question. And, you know, again, the restaurants, when we mentioned this, to them, they got on board very quickly, and again, if you go on there to feederscup.com, I'll be shocked if you can't find something that you wouldn't say, hey, I want, you know, and we hope people try, you know, dine around the world, see if you can eat all 16.
That may be a challenge.
I don't think we've got enough days to do that.
That's right. Well, lunch and dinner.
You can do lunch and dinner, I guess.
Yeah. Lunch and dinner, and throwing desserts in there. But I think that's one of the activities that, and when it comes back in 2022, you know, if this is successful and people love it, you know, I'm sure, you know, our restaurant list will grow, and we do have big, small, and in between restaurants participate.
Right.
This is the Featured Business of the Week. We're speaking with Kip Cornett, the chairman of the Breeders' Cup Festival Committee. And I want to talk a little bit about the races. You talked about the horses that are going to be in the big races. Let's talk about the Classic, because there's some great horses in there. Authentic, Tis the Law, Maximum Security, Swiss Skydiver, they're all in it.
Yeah, it's one of the best Classic fields that I can remember. And there's just so many different storylines that you don't, you know, see three Triple Crown horses, Maximum Security, who's, you know, won several, you know, huge races, starting off the year winning a $20 million race over in Saudi Arabia. So, you know, there is so many different, like I said, storylines and interest. It's going to be a great betting race. You know, there's no real horse that you can look and say, like, American Pharoah was a bit of a standout. You know, he was the favorite. I think here you could go in, you know, any number of directions. And so, you know, the Classic is going to be what it's supposed to be. The Classic, the race of the
year. Are there going to be opportunities for the public to actually go someplace to bet?
Alan, I think that, you know, most of the wagering that, and I think people, you know, Keeneland had two race meets this year that, you know, folks weren't able to go bet, physically on site at Keeneland, but a lot of people gravitated, very seamlessly to, be able to bet on whether it's Keeneland Select, you know, Twin Spires, TBG. There's so many ADW right. opportunities out there, and people have gotten it's dangerously easy to bet with these ADW platforms. And you know, all these, they provide video, they provide a lot of handicapping information, and I think that's one of the fun aspects of the week, is to get people on board early in the week. The first thing right out of the box is on Monday after our fireworks is the post position draw. And that can shape how people wagered, you know, what decisions they may make. And so, you know, right off the bat, you know, on Monday when those post positions are drawn, there is so much information that's free out there that you can start to put together, what wagers you want to make and plan how you want to make them, if you want to wager on an ADW platform or not. Another thing that we're going to be doing this week that I think will be fun to follow along is we are having the first ever America's Best Racing as our sponsor, the Charity Betting Challenge. And these are five teams that are, some are quote professional handicappers, some are amateurs, that we are raising money for charity. So if these folks don't pick a winner over 2 days, the charities will still get $2,000, but if they capture lightning in a bottle, all of their winnings go to local charities, and it ranges wow. from Nourish to St. Joseph, the CHI St. Joseph Healthcare Foundation. So you know, we're hoping and fingers crossed that somebody will, you know, hit a pick six or a big trifecta that will really make a difference for a local charity. So that's something that I would encourage people to, you know, to tune into as well. And the last plug I'll give here, at least on the betting side of it, is breederscup.com. They're going to give you so many different insights and so many different angles that will help people, if they choose to wager intelligently. And, you know, that being said, as we all know, I've been handicapping all my life, and then you'll have somebody that pick the names and they'll beat you. But it's fun to play. You can't win if you don't bet.
Or he's got an orange whip. I like him.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
My wife has done that. I'm telling you.
I have a cat named Sally, and there's a Sally in the race. So, you know, but anyway, I think that's part of the fun of it is that you do have, you know, folks that are experts that can't, you know, pick anything, and then others just get lucky. And that's part of the, I think part of the mystique of the horse racing game is that there's so much luck that's involved to not to pick a winner, but to just actually make it to the races.
I think what's also happened is that you've seen a big push through Keeneland of showing people how to bet a lot differently. And I think that's helping all wagering because it's giving the information a lot better.
Yeah, you know, it used to be, you know, when Alan and I were much, much younger, it was, you know, you had to get it from, you know, your degenerate uncle that was going to the racetrack. He knows all the inside info and he really knows and has the edge. And now there's no shortage of information to build a really intelligent and responsible way to bet. And, you know, it's out there. It's out there on, you know, whether it's websites, whether it's blogs. And it's really fun to follow along. And again, it's, you know, you can, you know, choose the way that you put together wagers any way you want. But from an information standpoint, there's an unprecedented level of information that's available to the public.
Kip, is there anything else that the committee, the festival committee, has been able to put together that will engage Lexingtonians?
Absolutely, Alan. You know, we our mantra in 2015 was to get people here early, and that was because we wanted them to enjoy everything about Lexington, from the distilleries to the horse park to the restaurants to our you know, just our whole hospitality industry. You know, obviously that's had to change a bit because of restrictions, but so getting here early had to change a little bit. But that being said, on Wednesday through Saturday, that's when you're going to really see Lexington, especially what we're calling the hospitality corridor, light up. And that's literally and figuratively, literally being you're going to see the Breeders' Cup Purple very dominant through all of downtown and all the city, whether it's on the courthouse or city center or buildings around town. That's going to happen visually. We also are working very closely. I just had an email this morning from Maury Sparrow at LexArts. We're going to have 48 different artists. They're going to be painting in and around downtown Lexington.
Wow.
This is a way for us to celebrate our artistic community. They'll be capturing everything from streetscapes to Breeders' Cup scenes, whatever they choose to paint. So I think that's going to be a really cool feature Wednesday through Saturday. That art will be sold at the next gallery hop, so also a fundraising opportunity for the artist. And the other piece is music, which we've had to get really creative with that, because if you remember in 15, we had a robust schedule of music all over downtown, right, with multiple stages. Right. And given the current protocols, I think where we've I always thought of pivot as a basketball term, and now pivot is one of the most used words of the year, it seems. But where we've pivoted to in terms of music is we've pivoted towards what we're calling roving musicians. So you're not going to have a single stage downtown where, you know, 500 people can cram in together and dance, but we're going to pepper musicians throughout downtown Lexington, 10 different locations. They will be basically cordoned off so that nobody will be able to get within 12 feet of these performers. But there won't be, so, you know, that kind of dictates there's not going to be stacks of amplifiers and speakers. These will be kind of a step up from busking, if you know what that means, which means that we'll have two and three musicians that'll be performing, but it won't be, you know, electronic. It won't be, you know, it will be singing, but we will be put those in a place where as people go about their experience downtown, they'll be able to experience part of our artistic culture in not only art, but in music as well. And extremely diverse, extreme cross-section of music. We just won't be able to gather and dance this go around, but I think it will inject some much needed energy into the downtown area. So those are a couple of things as well.
I think it's going to be
a lot of stuff going on. Go ahead, Skip.
I think it's going to be a big week that we are expecting. We wish we could all go and see it, but I don't think that's going to happen. But it's going to be a classic. Definitely a great set of races you've got going up here. Next week, November 6th and 7th at Keeneland, the 37th Annual Breeders' Cup World Championship of Thoroughbred Horse Racing. And that just tells it all right there.
Absolutely, Skip. You know, thanks for your time. And, you know, I know that once it starts to get closer, I think you're going to start to see when NBC starts to cover Lexington, when NBC starts to, you know, you're already starting to see some of those promos if you happen to turn on the TV. But, you know, this is a real moment for our city to shine. And I know we will again, even though it'll be in a much different way.
Yeah, just keep those cameras away from Rupp Arena for right now, I think.
True, yeah.
No kidding.
This has been the Featured Business of the Week. And Alan Stein, my partner, we'll see you next time. And Kip Cornett, chairman of the Breeders' Cup Festival Committee, thank you for your time, and we appreciate everything you guys are doing for the city.
All right, thank you. Thanks, Kip. Thanks, Alan.